Everybody stand up. Get your Bible out. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to finish what we started last week. How many like to walk through a nice, nice rose garden and smell the roses? Let me tell you something about this. The Lord just showed me this just a few minutes ago. It's awesome to be able to smell the roses. And I thank God that we can smell the roses. And I hear him say, why don't you wake up and smell the roses? That's all cool, all well and good. But guess what? It's the thorns that teach us how to navigate. Amen? It's the thorns that teach us how to keep ourselves together. It's the thorns that help us keep our eyes open. Because if you're just going by the beautiful smell of the rose, guess what? You're going to close your eyes. You're going to walk through. You're not even going to pay attention to what's going on because you're just smelling the roses. But when you're having to navigate through the thorns, that's when it gets real. And that's when things change. And that's when God teaches us and trains us. Amen. So some of us there are going through some thorns and we're going, Lord, why are we going through all these thorns? And God's saying, because I'm teaching you how to navigate. I'm teaching you how to keep your act together. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. God is so good. All the time. Verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, he said, no. God, you answer my prayers. You do great things. I need you to take these thorns away because they really, really hurt. They're hindering the ministry. And God says, no. Some of y'all in here right now, you say, God, if you would just get rid of some of these thorns, I could do a whole lot better. And God says, no. Get ready. For my strength, his strength, is made perfect in my weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you have an abundant wisdom, Lord. And you know what we need in our life, when we need it, and how we need it. God, you know, Lord, how to break us, where to break us, and how long it takes to break us. Lord, you know what kind of thorns we can handle, what kind of thorns would kill us. And Lord, you have navigated first. You have laid the plot. And now, God, it's up to us to navigate. And I thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, listen, tell them the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Now I got to tell something on Frank. Frank, where you at? Frank, you up there? I see you. Tell me if this is true or not. I was talking to one of your friends, and he told me something about you. So you tell me if this is true or not. You and Chris both were in this. Here it goes. Frank was driving home late one night from PCS when he picked up a hitchhiker. As they rode along, he began to be suspicious of his passenger. So Frank checked to see if his wallet was safe in the pocket of his coat that was on the seat between them, but it wasn't there. So he slammed on brakes. He ordered the hitchhiker out, and he said, "Hand over the wallet immediately." The frightened hitchhiker handed over his billfold, and Frank drove off. When he arrived home, he started to tell Chris about the experience, but she interrupted him and said, "Oh, by the way, Frank, I forgot to let you know that you left your wallet home this morning." is that true? So you robbed a hitchhiker. That's good. All right. Oh, that was really funny. At least to me, anyway. Somebody, I heard plenty, y'all thought it was funny too. Can't see if Frank was laughing. Oh, this is prophetic. Just don't pick up any hitchhikers. This is your sign not to pick up any hitchhikers. All right. Turning our pains into praises. Now remember, some of us right now, we got some thorns in our life. Don't point anybody. It's not the people. It's the situation. We've all got thorns in our lives. We've all got situations in our life we wish would change. We wish would be different. We'd love to go around and smell the roses. But I promise you, it's not all roses. If your life was all sunshine, soon your life will be a desert. You've got to have sunshine and rain. And if you're going to be healthy, don't just smell roses, but you've also got to handle some thorns. So let's just quickly go through a few things from last week, and then we're going to go right into this week. Remember this, God's never going to waste your pain. I mean, he's ever hurt in here before. That's a silly question. Amen? We've all hurt. So watch this. God will never allow pain, watch this, I love this, without a plan, without a path, without a promise. Of course, the plan is, it says that, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. So this is His plan. Whatever happens to you, whether you bring it on yourself, whether Satan is just attacking, whatever comes against you, the Bible says that God's got a plan for this. He can always use this. And the path is it all works together, and the promise is for the good. If you love God, it's going to happen. So let's just keep on moving. He said, "I appointed them that mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Isaiah 61:3. God always promises to exchange our pain for praise. And so watch this. Just quickly, like I said, just quickly. Paul's thorn in the flesh had a lot of interpretations, but the word is scallop, which is a pointed thing. So something of a bodily annoyance. It might have been a disability, but the pain that bothers us is physically, mentally, emotional, and spiritual. So Paul prayed for this thorn to be taken out. Three times, three seasons of in-depth prayer. This is a man that prayed and raised the dead. This is a man that prayed and saw demons come out. This is the man that prayed and saw people healed and thousands saved. But that thorn, no matter how hard he prayed, three the number of trial. There's no telling how many times he prayed. But it mentions three the number of trial. So watch this. But God responded, let the pain remain. Because Paul, believe it or not, it's good for you. Some of you here right now need to hear this. Some of the things you're going through right now, you think it's destroying you, it's killing you. You'll never get through it. But I'm here to tell you, if God hasn't moved it, then He's going to use it. Okay? So now, just a few more from last week, and then we'll jump right in there. The Bible says, talks about sufficient grace. Sufficient means to raise a barrier, to raise a shield, to defend. It also means to make more than enough. So it's talking about how God's going to take care of us. Sometimes He defends us. Sometimes He just deflects it. There's other times where He makes us more than enough. My wife and I pray every morning when we're praying our prayers together, and we say the Lord's Prayer, and then we pray other things, and we always pray for us. And I say, God, make us more than enough for the trials that come our way. Make us more than enough through you to the trials that come this way. And God, help our families not to go into a vacuum that drags them down, but help our families, our kids, to be free and to maneuver freely in you. So watch this. Here it goes. Look, a diamond is merely a lump of coal that did well under pressure. Amen? How many diamonds have we got in here? Amen? You did well under pressure. Amen? So watch this. here's the new stuff. Number one, accept the presence of your pain. He said, God gave me a thorn in my flesh. Now let me tell you something. Number one about the... ready? I know you might not like this, but it might not be popular, but this will help you more than you ever could imagine. Get ready. Number one, pain keeps our feet on the ground. Listen carefully. Pain keeps our feet on the ground. It says to keep me from becoming conceited. Pain, when God's got pain coming our way, it reminds us that we're not supermen. It reminds us that everything isn't all right. It reminds us that life is hard. It reminds us that we have to walk by faith, not by sight. It reminds us that God is not a cosmic sugar daddy just waiting for us to give Him an order. This is not Burger King, have it your way. Amen? So, he said, at least I be exalted above measure. So above measure means to be so above myself that I can't even see myself. Have you ever been around somebody that's so full of their self? And you know they don't see how full they are. I've had people come to me and say, look, I see this. Been there for an hour, and they go, okay, enough of me talking about me. You talk about me for a while. Just full of themselves. So Paul, because of what God was doing through his life, the talent, the effort, the stuff that God had put in this man, the revelation, God gave him that thorn to keep his feet on the ground. So it's preventing conceit, which is an improper view when our focus is lost, and it protects us from us. Our thorns, this is wild, isn't it? Our thorns protect us from us. My biggest enemy is, believe it or not, me. Your biggest enemy, you look in the mirror and see it every day. Your biggest enemy, you brush your enemy's teeth, you put your enemy's shoes on. Your greatest enemy is you. And Satan uses you to destroy you. So he'll get our thoughts all messed up. He gets our mind in certain ways. He's got us all kinds of ways. And so God allows the thorn to keep us on the ground. Pain in this aspect becomes an eye-opener. And as it becomes an eye-opener, it becomes God's protective tool. God is actually protecting us. So now, get ready. Yeah, this is good stuff. I know it might not seem like it at the time, but it's good stuff. Now, while you're accepting the presence of pain, watch this. To keep me from becoming conceited, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. You see, now get ready. Paul's pain was not an offer. God didn't say, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, what about if I do this, Paul? Paul, why don't you just, Paul, if you don't like this, just pray it away. No. Paul's thorn was not an offer. It was given. It was Satan, yeah, as a messenger, but God gave it. And if God gave it, it must be for good. Some of y'all in here right now are saying, God, if you could just move this. I remember a guy named Bud at Procter & Gamble. He's the guy literally watching him without him saying a word, watching his life, did more for leading me to the Lord than anything. And I remember him telling me, if I could just get on day shift, I could do more for God. If I could just get on day shift, I could do more for God. I could focus on God. I could get, I mean, he'll tell him what I could do. And he kept praying for day shift and praying for day shift. He got on day shift. Within 6 months, he had backslid. Those people there had gotten so bad with their mouth that they actually had to show us a film from personnel about how we used our, how filthy our mouths were. And so they actually had some guys act out the part sitting in the break room, and one guy was cussing and running. He was letting it rip. And the other guy was saying, why do you want to talk like that? And then the personnel manager gives up and says, see, we can't be talking like this. It drives down morale. And it also does a lot of things. And so the guy in that film that was used with the most filthy mouth was Bud, the guy that told me, if I go on day shift, I can really do some good work for God. I was so mad. And when they got through showing us, they started asking people what they think. And I was a pastor. So they went right straight to me and said, okay, preacher. I was so mad too, because I said, this guy said, if I can just get on day shift, these thorns will be God. God, if you'll move these thorns, I can do more. God moved the thorns and it got bad. God used this as an example for him to see. And I remember very distinctly, I was so mad. And when they asked me, what did I think? I really, believe me, I promise you, I don't remember what I said. When I went down, and everybody got real quiet. It was so quiet in that place. And afterwards, I went to my boss and I said, what did I say? And he said, you put it in there. I said, well, what did I say? I really don't know. He said, well, you kind of said, well, when people do cuss like that and carry on, they're actually leaving their brain in park, and they're putting their mouth in high gear. He said, they're not thinking. And I said, He said, no. He said, you did good. You hear about us get quiet? I said, yeah. He said, just leave it alone. I said, yes, sir. So watch this. Watch this carefully. Accept it. While you're accepting your pain, watch this. Look, you're shaped in the fire, furnace of trials, and by the hammer of afflictions on the anvil of faith. So now watch this. Pain keeps, listen carefully, this is good. Pain keeps our faith on the grind. Pain keeps our faith on the grind. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. Buffet means to torment. It means to strike with the fist. So this is some hard blows. This isn't a slap. This is a fist. And so when it says buffet me, he's being beat by the messenger of Satan. What it meant is that Paul was actually being put on the anvil of God. Think about it. I bet you, let me bring her way down to my level. Sometimes we think that God can't use us because we've been in such a battle with Satan. And we've been struggling, not realizing that God was the one that sent the struggle. Not realizing that God was using the struggle, the anvil, to shape you and to change you. And so instead of thinking you unworthy because you've been through the struggle, thank God that He loved you enough and He trusted you enough to put you on the anvil. And the anvil, I promise you, is not going to feel good. So one good reason, that's one of the best reasons I can think of, is to accept our pain, is because it sharpens our faith. And it actually becomes God's tool that perfects us. Have you ever worked with anybody that you just couldn't stand? Have you ever worked with anybody that just drove you crazy? Have you ever worked with anybody? You know, I remember at Fountain, I'm not going to mention the woman's name, but I remember I told you she would come in and go, we're working computers and we're sending reports off to New York and sending reports off on other sides of the world. And North Carolina, the Department of Diener, Department of Natural Resources, and to OSHA. And so she said, I can't do all this stuff on a computer. Just give me a manila folder and I'll fix it. That's how she talked. I kid you not, I'm being kind of low. And every time she would talk, I look at the other engineers. I'm not kidding. They would go. And one day, I told the woman not to call her name. I said, you need, if you send in a manila folder, you can't send 100 papers to the North Carolina Safety Department, the Health Department. You can't send this to them in a manila folder and get it to them in time enough before they come back and do another inspection. And she said, I've been doing this for 50 years. I know what I'm doing. And I said, yes, ma'am. She was older than me. Yes, ma'am. She walked out one day. Here's what she always said. I said, but you've got to try to use the computer. And so she'd start using the computer, and she would go, there it goes, zapped into cyberspace. I don't know where the reports are now. One day she walked out, and one of the guys, the calmest, coolest engineer in the plant, always kept his cool. He was a Christian. He never talked about anybody. She got through talking about zapping her stuff into cyberspace, and she walked out. And as she walked out of engineering, he went, this water's too wet! And I had to turn around and tell everybody, you need to cut her some slack. And I said, because she's God's sandpaper. And she's sanding off some rough edges on all of us. I said, if you think about it that way, you won't want to strangle her. And everybody calmed down. I said, so just remember next time she comes by, she's sandpaper. Next time she come by, that night, I was going, and she said, excuse me? He said, nothing. Let me tell you a real, that was a true story. It was. Now, I've told this story many times, but I want this perfect right here. Years ago, in the northeastern United States, codfish was a big commercial business. There was a market for the eastern cod all over, especially on the West Coast. The demand posed a problem to the shippers, though, because at first they froze the cod and they shipped them elsewhere, but the freezing took away much of the flavor. So they experimented with shipping them alive in tanks of seawater. But that proved even worse. Not only was it more expensive, the cod still lost their flavor. In addition, it became soft and mushy. So one person solved the problem in the most innovative way. He said, what he did was he took the codfish that were placed in a tank of water along with their natural enemy, the catfish. From the time the cod left the East Coast until it arrived at the westernmost destination, these ordinary catfish chased the cod all over the tank. And you guessed it, when the cod arrived at market, they were fresh as when they were first caught. There was no loss of flavor, nor there was any texture affected. If anything, it tasted better because they had been chased all the way during the journey. The catfish, listen, it was a God-appointed kid. God's got God-appointed catfish in your life to supply sufficient tension that keeps us alive, keeps us alert, keeps us fresh, and keeps us growing. And so you got to think about that thing. God many times allows our pain. Hold on. I'm not through. Just about through. If you don't know my pain, you'll never understand my praise. That's exactly right. You can look at me all crazy if you want to. That's cool. Ready? You need to learn how to appreciate the essence of your pain. He said, I will boast more than gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Let me ask you a question. How can a sane person appreciate pain? How can anybody in their right mind appreciate going through things that absolutely cause us pain? Watch this. Paul even said, he said, I'm going to boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. So watch this. Watch this. That word infirmity means weakness. It means corruption. It means pain. It also means, though, that his focus was changed. Now watch this. I'm getting ready to close. Four things. Look at that. See that bridge right there? See that gap? Every last one of us have gaps in our lives. You cannot cross that gap by yourself. You can't jump it. It's too big. You can't scale it. There's no way. It's too high. But grace will provide a bridge for us when we can't reach it. So watch. Four things you can take pleasure in no matter what. Number one, take pleasure in your weaknesses. What it means is God's not finished. He said, Lord, please take this weakness. Please. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And God said, each time he said, no, I am with you. This is all you need. My power shows up best in weak people. Now I am glad to boast about how weak I am. I am glad to be living a demonstration of Christ's power instead of showing off my power and my abilities. Wow. Wow. The Bible says also, he that begun a good work in you will complete it until he comes back. Which means even if you die before he comes back, the work that you started is going to live on. I think about stuff that Bethany did. It lives on. Stuff that Billy and Dorothy and the Grays did, and now things that Jeannie did, there's stuff they did that honestly is going to keep on going. It's never going to stop until Jesus Christ comes back. Amen? And look at this. This morning's Mighty Army. My wife thought of this, and I just took it, and I didn't even ask her. I should have asked her. But I actually took it and maneuvered it around a little bit. And watch this. Mighty Army. Noah didn't get to part the seas. He had to wait for the waters to recede. Let me do that one again. That's very powerful. Noah didn't get to part the seas. He had to wait for the waters to recede. There are times we have to ride out the storm and wait too. My grace is sufficient for you. As I was riding through the church that day, I passed by a church, and on the church sign it said, sometimes God calms the storm without. Other times he calms the storm within. Wow. So, God's not through. Y'all say God's not through with me yet. All right, number two. Take pleasure in the fact that grace always comes to the rescue. Matter of fact, grace does its best work during our weakest moments. It's during our weakest moments that we really depend on God. If you're not in a weak moment, you're going to think, well, you know what? I don't need God anyway. I got this. I got it. I got this. You know, DC this morning, he keeps saying this, Dad, Dad, Dad. Don't close your eyes. Look at me. And so I turned around and watched him, and I got going. I closed my eyes. And practicing DC said, stop. And I'm still going. And DC said, see? I said, see what? He said, that's right. You got to open your eyes, and you got to see me. I can't lead you if you're not watching. The same way, look, if we think we got it, we're not watching God. We're not even paying attention. God's trying to get our attention. No, God, I got this. I got it. I got it. When everything's falling all to pieces, guess what? That's when, you know, I remember telling DC and Daniel, when they were little, they go, we got this, Dad, we got this. I said, you ain't got this. And they go, but Dad, we got it. I said, okay, then you try it the way you got it. And then when you need me, call me, and I'll come in and fix it. And God spoke to him one day and said, isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? Ouch. When I'm weak, when I can't handle the situation, Jesus is the strong one. And he steps up. My grace is sufficient for you. Now, watch this. Number three. I said there's four things. Number three. Take pleasure that grace always brings supernatural. Whenever God shows up, something supernatural happens. Although it may be in the form of natural, God always takes my natural and puts super to it. Amen? Matter of fact, watch this. Here it goes. It says, Christ's power may rest upon me. That word rest means to build a tent, to be working within, giving help. When I am weak, then not only does he just come beside me, he gets within me. He helps me do what I need to do. And then finally, take pleasure in the fact that God called you to believe, to trust. Believe that God's grace is enough. So let me just get this. And DC, come up here and get ready to play something. Please. For Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, in hardships, and persecutions, and difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. The best result of pain in anybody's life is refined character. You know, I've told this story 100 times. Some of y'all have heard it probably more than 100 times from me. One of the hardest things I ever do as a dad when I was a coach was I had been trained in D.C. I was the defensive coach, and I was trained in D.C. how to break. He was nose guard. And I was teaching him how to break through the line and get the quarterback. And some of the guys at work said, I don't know who number 56 is, but we've decided to go against him hard because we're tired of him breaking the line. That was D.C. I didn't say anything. So we got to practice. Me and a couple other coaches got together, and we took two of the best players and stuck them by the center. They were guards. And their instructions were to double up and double team DC. We practiced a lot harder than we played. Full turnout gear, ready to go. Everything was there. The first time they wouldn't hit him hard because they didn't want to hurt him, and said, stop it. Hit the boy as hard as you can hit him. Now, I'm his daddy. And I watched him hit him, and he laid on the ground, and he was trying to breathe. And daddy and me wanted to go pick him up and hold him. But I knew he'd get worse when he was playing the real game. So I said, that all you got, girl? Get up! Man, I hated that. And he got up. I said, no, take him out! And those guys hit him hard again. He lay down on the ground trying to get his breath. And the daddy in me wanted so bad to go down and pick him up and hold him. But I knew that he would not be ready for what was coming if he didn't go through this pain. The third time they hit him, and he got up, and I remember this to the day I die. I even wake up some nights and I see this in my mind. I watched DC roll over, and I said, you okay? And he got on his knees, and he breathed. And he got up in the stance. I said, get in the stance. And I watched as tears fell through his helmet. I wanted so bad to say, y'all leave my son alone. just wanted to grab him and hold him and say, son, I'm so sorry. But this he wanted to be the best player he could be. And I know they were going to tear him up because they had a lot bigger guys going to be throwing him. And I watched the tears. And I just went, and I said, my mom hits harder than that. That was the last time their double team worked. He busted through them. Went to the game. He kept busting through those guys. They double team him. He bust through them. But if I, as a father, I'm his coach. If I hadn't have allowed him to go through that pain, he'd have never been able to handle what he was going to be facing. And the Lord spoke to me later and said, I do the same thing. I watch you get knocked down. I watch you get run over. And I see the tears in your eyes. Don't you think it hurts me? But I know it would hurt me a whole lot more to see you destroyed. So stand up. Give it what you got, son. Because I'm with you. I'm not going to let it take you down. See, life, I learned this a long time ago, and it's helped me a lot. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond. Years later, DC was playing high school baseball. And that pitcher was out to get DC. You could tell it. They were playing a little mind game back and forth. And the pitcher was trying to dust DC off the plate. And he threw it right at DC, and they were fast too. And DC went. And it hit the catcher and hit the ground. DC reached down and picked up the ball. Referee said, hand me the ball. And DC looked out to the ball player, to the pitcher, and said, that all you got? And he did that to him, and when it hit his glove, it sounded like a rocket had launched. And I was back to the day when he was on his belly with tears coming out of his helmet. I'm 62 years old, and just this week, I was praying for him, and I saw the tears coming out of his helmet again. I said, God bless him, bless him, bless him. So now, get ready. Get ready to close. Believe it or not, pain enhances your contentment. He says, I delight in weakness now. Delight means to be willing to take pleasure in. And weakness is impotency, is unable to do anything. I'm glad when I can't do anything now. Because when I'm weak, when I can't do anything, then he's strong in me and I'm able to do anything. God uses our pain as a measure of our faith. When we get stripped of human strength, then we can be useful and mighty in the Lord. The pain that you've been feeling can't compare to the joy this coming. Here's a promise. I will not cause pain without allowing something new to be born, says the Lord. God has so much for us to do. But he's not raising up a weak-kneed, fearful army. He's raising up a powerful, powerful generation that won't be afraid of Satan's onslaught. Everybody stand. Just this week, I believe I've talked to about 25 people, maybe more. More. That have gone through some very powerful, powerful pain lately. All different kinds, all different types. Some they brought on themselves, some they're just collateral damage. Others, it's just collective. And the number one question I hear is why? 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 And I always tell them this, I have no idea. But I can tell you this, if God allowed it, there's a purpose. So instead of asking why, ask Him, what am I supposed to learn from this pain? Show me what I need to be learning from this pain. And it's amazing. You may never get a why. But you'll get a whole bunch of what's. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to learn. Here's what you need to know. Pain is a common denominator. It connects all of us. Not only is it the common denominator that connects all of us, but without a doubt, pain is always calling out to God. Whether we want to accept it or not, whether we want to blame God or not, whether we want to refuse Him, pain, it connects us each other, and it connects us to God. Today, if you've been asking why, please stop and ask Him, what am I supposed to learn from this? Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's something very special taking place at this moment in some people's hearts. God has been knocking, but you haven't opened the door for many seasons. And today, you feel the urge to open that door again. My challenge to you is open the door. Open the door. God's got you. God has got you more than you ever imagined. Trust Him. Not why, but God, what do you want me to learn from this? Teach me. Show me the comfort so that I can comfort others. Help me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here right now, and you and God, maybe it was pain. Something drove a wedge between you and God. And God's knocking. And He says, it's okay, it's time for the wedge to come down. And I want you to understand that some of the stuff you're going through was not happening to you, but it was actually happening for you. Some of the pain that you went through was not happening to you, it was happening for you. In order that you could be the servant that I needed you to be for the assignment that I created you for. I'm knocking at the door is what He's saying, but you got to let me in. And just remember again, one more time, this stuff was not happening to you, it's happening for you. God has a purpose for every pain. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if I'm talking to you right now and you let the wedge get in between you and God and you want to open that door and let God walk in, nobody looking around, would you just slip that hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe right now you're connected, but you sure have grown calloused. Maybe it's because you're asking the wrong questions. Why instead of what? Or how? It was why. And you just grew calloused. And now you want God to soften that heart and use you mightily. Nobody looking around, every eye closed. If I'm talking to you right now, would you slide that hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here and you're just having a hard time. The pain at times has been unbearable. And Satan is trying to tell you that God doesn't care. He could care less. That's not true. God very much cares. He's our Heavenly Father. But just like with D.C. being run over by those guys in practice, I hated it, especially when I saw those tears. But He never complained. He just kept getting up and getting up. And when He played the game, He was unstoppable. Maybe, just maybe, you're going through some things like that now, not realizing it. You feel like it's here to stop you, and God's trying to make you unstoppable. If you're here and you just need God to do something, to show you, to help you to understand, to get this going, to jumpstart, to do something in this pain so that you know He's still here. Would you put up that hand? I just need to know you're still here. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Let's pray together. Lord, I love You. I thank You. For all things good, and at times, the bad. I thank You, God, that You trust me enough to allow me to go through pain. I thank You, God, that when You allow it, it's not happening to me, it's happening for me. And I thank You that you care enough to build me up. Father, help me quit asking why and start asking you what you want me to learn. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, this day is your day. And I give it to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Ah. Oh.